From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather mostly cloudy this afternoon. Slight chance of showers after 2. Looking for a high of 67. Cloudy tonight, slight chance of showers before 11, low of 46. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, but a 30% chance of showers mainly after 11 a.m. Other than Thursday, we've got a chance of showers in the forecast every day for the next week. In the Umpqua Valley. Right now, clouds 60 in Roseburg. KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Most Mondays, we focus on the COVID-19-related topic situation, and that's what we're doing again today. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Dr. Bob, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about, to begin, the local case situation. Last week, it seemed like our numbers were very high throughout much of the week.
Our numbers have been quite high over the last 2 weeks. We had a day last week over 30. I think it's slowed down a little bit over this weekend, but still a relatively high number of cases for this late in the pandemic.
So what is driving the high case numbers?
Well, these high case numbers, we think, come from three areas. One is that people are enjoying this spring and summer and have pretty much stopped using masks and distancing. So there's a lot more gathering going on that we think is leading to the increase. The second is that we have a relatively low rate of vaccination in the county. And the third is that the variants have very clearly arrived.
Is one of those three more a factor than the other, or is it pretty mixed?
I think it's pretty mixed because there's other places in the state that have had two of the three, but not quite the rise that we've had.
Now, one of the questions I got over the weekend, though maybe you can get into the data a little bit more, somebody said, well, we've got more people vaccinated. Shouldn't the case numbers be going down?
And the vaccine has been very effective. So in the last week that we looked, there were 111 cases, and of those 111 cases, 110 out of 111 were unvaccinated. Of all those people who have been vaccinated, only one person was sick, and they were only mildly ill. So what we're seeing is a very low rate of disease among the vaccinated, and actually one of the highest rates we've ever seen among the unvaccinated.
Now, what about the fairgrounds event on Saturday? You were working there to get a lot of folks vaccinated. How did that go?
It went very well. We did several hundred this weekend. We had lots of teenagers, kids 12 through 15 and then older, who joined us. So that's a great sign. People were all pretty grateful. We had, as an incentive, the Shave Ice Truck, which was very popular.
Now, address the continued vaccination hesitancy, because I know that we have both talked to people who have said, there's no way I'm getting vaccinated.
There are that group. There's a small group of people, probably 20 or 30% of the population, who just have no interest in getting the vaccine, either because they have worries about this vaccine, or politically they don't want to do it. So there's about 20 or 30%, but that still leaves us another 20 or 30% of people who would get the vaccine if they could find the time and it got convenient. So we're going to reach out to that group by having lots of very convenient vaccine events.
And have you talked to anyone, maybe one of these Saturday events, who had been hesitant for quite a while but eventually changed their mind?
I did. So actually just this weekend, I talked to quite a few. And there some people were hesitant because they had misconceptions. For example, they had heard that if they got the vaccine, they would then test positive and have to quarantine. Very clear that that's not true. I talked to somebody who was hesitant because they thought that this vaccine could negatively impact a pregnancy. Again, well-studied, and that's not true. So I think we convinced a few people to go ahead and get the vaccine.
And yet our numbers remain low. Where do we compare with some of the other rural counties in the state in the level of vaccination?
Well, the numbers are a little hard to know because of the data problem with the VA and the tribe. And again, the data problem with the VA and the tribe are not at all an issue with them. It's just an issue of this data going to the feds and then not coming back to the local area. We think we're at about now at about 54% of our population vaccinated, which is lower than Lane County, but just pretty much the same as the counties around us and pretty similar to the national average. So we're doing about the same as the national average and about the same as our county neighbors, except for Lane.
I don't know if this data is easily out there, but I'm curious what the vaccination rate is at some of the lower counties in the state that are that have the least percentage vaccinated.
So there are some counties that are in the 30% range. We are at about 50%, and then there are some counties that are over 65%. So there's a wide range among counties in Oregon.
Now, as we take a look at the cases of COVID-19 in the last week or so around Oregon, what trends are we seeing?
Well, we're seeing younger people. So there was a news story this weekend about more teenagers being hospitalized, more teenagers in the ICU. We also have seen a high hospitalization rate. It's down a little bit today. But of the 12 people in the hospital, only 2 are older than me and 10 are younger than me. So what we're seeing is a relatively high hospitalization rate. All the hospitalizations have been in unvaccinated people, and they tend to be young and quite sick.
And for the folks that are hospitalized, I know that a number of them from Douglas County are being seen outside the area. Why is that?
Well, some of the people are outside of the area because they live in Douglas County but got sick elsewhere. But the biggest reason that people are out of the county is that they were too sick to be treated at Mercy. So they were at Mercy and needed some kind of specialized care that Mercy couldn't provide. And so they went to OHSU or Providence or Riverbend to get that higher level of care.
Now, as we look around the nation right now, where are some of the hot spots and the low spots for COVID-19 cases?
Well, there are really no super hot spots in the country now, which is great. Places like Colorado and northern Missouri do have more cases than other places, but nothing like we had 3 or 4 months ago. And then some areas seem to be doing incredibly well. There are almost no diseases in New England. So New England, which has had both a lot of cases in the past and a high vaccination rate, are seeing really, really low cases. So the whole state of Vermont only had 8 cases one day last week.
And I noticed that over the weekend in some of the articles I was taking a look at. Any idea why the vaccination rate in New England is so much higher?
Well, I think there's a lot of political differences in doing that. New England, although they have, having lived there for a long time, although they have sort of this sense of the stalwart people, I think they recognize that they all need to depend upon each other. And the vaccination is seen as a way not just to protect yourself, but to protect those around you.
For the world, what about Italy? What are some of the other hotspots right now?
So Europe is actually doing pretty well. There are no real hotspots in Europe. However, what we're seeing is a tremendous amount of disease in South America. And so it's been many months now that South America has had just a high, high amount of disease. We're also starting to see a considerable amount of disease in India and then in Mongolia. We don't think of Mongolia very much, but a small country wedged there between Russia and China. They do have a high vaccination rate and yet have had a really high disease rate. And then Africa is always a concern. You'll remember that Africa's had almost no COVID disease during the pandemic. They've had almost no one vaccinated. They have a really, really struggling healthcare system. So if it starts to spread in Africa, that could be really a big concern.
Now, I said Italy earlier. I actually met India. How's India doing?
Well, India is struggling. It seems to be sort of moving its way through India. It had previously been in the more northern states and is now in the more southern states. But it just is really hard. I talked to a friend who's has family in India, and they were talking about the terrible conditions, the lots of deaths, and the running out of basic things like oxygen.
And are some of these countries able to reach out and get help on some of the medical supplies, some of the other things, along with vaccines that are needed?
Well, there has been some international assistance for India, especially with their oxygen issues. But oxygen turned out to be a very heavy and hard to transport material. So I think they're still struggling to have adequate oxygen in their hospitals and clinics.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer looking at the COVID-19 pandemic. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson at 1. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk about this weekend's Koi Expo and Pond Tour. Tell you more about that with Jim Daniels on Inside Douglas County Tuesday. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us this afternoon. State of Oregon getting close to the 70% vaccination overall. State health officials said on Friday that they think somewhere between June 21st and 30th that will happen. Dr. Bob, talk about the changes Oregon Health Authority and the governor's office announced that will take place when that does.
So when we hit 70% vaccinated in the state, and that 70% of the eligible population has had one dose of vaccine, we're basically going to roll back many of these other social distancing and other public health measures we've used. And so that will certainly be a breath of fresh air to mostly get rid of masks, mostly get rid of distancing, and mostly get rid of the amount of occupancy in a business.
So obviously some big changes there, and some people had wondered initially if it would be up to each county, but it's going to be, I am told, looking at the overall state numbers, what will it take to Douglas County to get to 70%, though?
So it'll take just continuing to vaccinate more people. We have plenty of vaccine. It's just more people who want to get the vaccine so that we can get there. Now, the 70% number that the governor mentioned is going to be a statewide number. I would imagine that when we get there, that there'll be some areas that are well above 70, many areas that are in the 60 to 70 range. And then others that will lag behind it. I think Douglas County will lag a bit behind.
Any concern about the state rules being, these rules being lifted on the state as a whole versus when counties get to that 70% mark?
This has been a problem from the middle of the pandemic, from the beginning of the pandemic, when they make rules for individual small areas, or whether you do for the state as a whole. And no matter how you do it, there are going to be problems. I think doing it as a state makes great sense.
And what about some of the opportunities coming up in the next week or so with the Tiger team and other locations that have got vaccine available?
So we have a couple of things coming up. I'm today working at the Aviva Vaccination Clinic, which is over on their campus over by Costco. So you can come by between 8 and 4 and get a vaccine. And there's been absolutely no wait. So please come in and get one. We have the Tiger team, a group of 6 individuals who travel around the county. And they are going to be this week at Orenco and in Oakland and in Glide. This weekend, we think they're going to be at one of the local breweries. So look for that. Next weekend, they're going to be at the Chainsaw Festival in Reedsport. So they're really around. They're really trying to get everybody to get vaccinated.
And I'm curious, you mentioned them being out at the festival. I'm curious about the Tiger team. I guess that would be the one more set up to do this. As outdoor local events begin to happen, getting them out at a lot of them where people are gathering.
That's right. So we want to get the vaccines to where people are. And we know that the Chainsaw Festival is a fabulous event. I've never been to it, but seen the product, and it really is amazing what people can do with a hunk of wood and a chainsaw. So for people in Reedsport, they can go and get a vaccine. And at any of these local events, people can get vaccines.
Now, I wonder, one of the things on the COVID-19 response team information that came out a bit ago is a reminder for folks who have gotten one dose of a vaccine that is a two dose, as two of them are, about getting their second dose. Do you have concerns about people that aren't returning for that second dose?
We actually have very good return rates. One of the clinics reported today that they have a well over 99% return rate. I think through the rest of the state is about 94-95%. So, yeah, we do want people to get their second dose. Clearly, the vaccine efficacy goes up from the 80s to well over 90% from the first to the second dose. So, again, for people who've gotten two doses of the vaccine, we have seen so few cases of disease.
So, obviously, for folks who haven't gotten the second dose, just the differential there in the data about the effectiveness of it would seem like it would, you know, push them towards getting that second dose if they maybe thought they would just get away with one.
Yeah, I think there early on there was some thought that you only needed one, but I think now it's very clear that the second dose of the Moderna and the second dose of the Pfizer really do build immunity.
Now, let's talk about some of the new things that are being learned about this virus. One of the things that has fascinated a lot of people is this whole issue of the variants.
Yeah, so the variants are very much a concern. So variants are mutations of the virus. All viruses mutate. This virus mutates at an average rate, not really very fast or very slow, but it mutates like many viruses do. But it's spreading so much in places like Brazil and India that has continued to mutate. The good news is all of the mutant strains seem to be at least somewhat controlled by the vaccine, and that's why we're encouraging people to get vaccinated now. The problem is we don't know what kind of new mutants are out there that might not respond so well to the vaccine, so we're really encouraging people to get vaccinated now.
One of the other aspects of this is some people, when they get COVID-19, the level of symptoms really varies. It doesn't always seem to be connected to underlying conditions, though clearly many times it is. But what about people who get it, get through it, but then months later, what are some of the issues people are still having in some cases?
So there's something called long COVID or long haul COVID. And these are people who had COVID in weeks or months or now even a year later continue to have side effects. And the side effects seem to be things like fatigue, shortness of breath, inability to exercise. Some people have reported a brain fog. Some people continue to have chest pain. So it's those kinds of things that go on for weeks or months, which seem to be really debilitating.
And are those more likely to be happen to folks that are older or have some other health issues?
Actually, it is pretty surprising. It's happened in all age groups, including kids, to have the long-haul symptoms. And some of it is related to how serious the disease was, but many of these seem to be unrelated. You know, it's people with mild cases of disease that are actually much sicker a few weeks later with the long-haul symptoms.
Wow. Now, for the local effort to help people out, how is that going in terms of the folks in quarantine and isolation?
It's going very well. So when people in isolation and quarantine, sometimes they need help with groceries or other kinds of things, and our team is out there delivering to people. We occasionally have people who can't stay in their home when they're sick, so we've been finding housing for them. And for everyone who's in isolation quarantine, we hope to provide some an ear to listen to and somebody to talk with if you have concerns about COVID.
And I know as some of these cases have come along, I mean, today, 619 people in isolation or quarantine, that's a pretty large number.
That is a large number of people to be supporting. And yet our team is out there every day of every week making it happen.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhoff for our weekly look at the COVID-19 related topics. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.